So today we're pleased to welcome to the program now Quincy School Committee Woman Courtney Pertios to chat a little bit about her recent appointment to fill the seat left vacant by Anthony Andronico, and also to talk more about her hopes and plans for the new school year. Hi, Courtney. Nice to see you.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Absolutely.
Congratulations on your new appointment.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm very honored to have been chosen to fill this, to fill the vacancy. So yeah, thank you.
I'll start off, I guess, with the obvious question is, do you plan to run for the full 4-year term at the end of the year?
I do. Figuring out how to run a campaign during this pandemic is going to be, something that we're going to have to figure out, and it's going to be a challenge, but I'm up for it. Definitely. It was something that I felt strongly about a couple years back and still feel that way. So yep, I'll be out there.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you a candidate back in 2019 did extremely well, got almost 6,000 votes, and it was mentioned during the nomination process about your steadfast commitment to the Quincy Public Schools, even after, you know, not being elected that time around. So what is it, Courtney, that drives you? Why are you so passionate about the public schools here in Quincy?
Well, funny enough, it's never really been about the seat or the school committee itself for me. It's always been about the work. It's been about advocating for our kids, for our teachers, for, you know, whatever I can do to help the school system be even better than it is. So that's always what's driven me. And just being able to have a higher voice, be able to bring parent concerns and, you know, teacher concerns, student concerns to the greater public, to the greater conversation has always been what drives me. So, yep. That's what got me talking to everyone in 2019. I love talking to people at their doors, hearing, you know, their experiences with the schools, just learning all I can about it, and just figuring out what the issues are and being able to work on them.
Obviously, you know, the pandemic is overshadowing everything right now, and certainly in the public school system, that's no different. I know you were involved in the task force reopening process. So how would you kind of rate, Courtney, how Quincy Public Schools are doing during this challenging time?
Yeah, that's it's a great question. Yeah, after the election, a lot of people said, well, aren't you really glad that you didn't end up getting elected because you'd have to figure out all this and it's so hard? And I said, no, honestly, this is why I wanted to run, to be able to handle these hard times and these hard decisions and be part of figuring out some solutions. And I was lucky enough to be invited to be part of that task force. And that was such a great way to be able to bring parents together with this group. And the Superintendent Mulvey was fantastic. It was pretty much his first big project he had to work on as superintendent, to bring this task force together. And he did a great job bringing people from all the different stakeholders together, you know, teachers, parents, the city side of things, transportation, technology, everyone together. And we just had these conversations. We listed all the issues, and you know, I don't even know if, I think our first meeting was just listing all the issues that the pandemic was going to require us to be looking at. And we had, you know, we just started meeting weekly, twice a week, a couple weeks, all through the summer, and just tried to hammer away at those conversations and figure out how best to attack each issue, and try to minimize the effect on kids, minimize the effect on parents, on teachers. So we just kind of went to work and did that. And I think, you know, there's some things that we could have probably done better in hindsight, you know, but I think every school system has gone through this and had these discussions. And I think we've done, you know, as well, if not better than a lot of them. So I'm proud. I'm proud of the work that's gone into getting the kids to where we are now, and hopefully just keep working on, you know, getting them back in a safe and responsible way.
Yeah, we are on the cusp of having first through third graders be able to come back full time, and then possibly some other grade levels after that. So how do you think that's going to flush out?
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot next week. Monday, as you mentioned, Monday starts the first to third graders coming back. And, you know, they're going to kind of be the test pilots here for us to see how this goes, what we need to tweak. We're going to have to get some feedback from parents and from teachers and from administrators at the school level and adjust what we need to. And then hopefully just keep adding grades until we can get everybody back there.
Yeah. Are other communities following that same line? Do you know, Courtney, or is Quincy kind of setting the standard?
You know, I pay most of my attention to Quincy, but I do, you know, we do take a look at what other towns are doing. And yeah, I mean, there's a bunch that that have looked at bringing kids back full time, or there's a lot of different ways that are that other communities have done it, you know, week on, week off. They've done hybrid differently. So it's just kind of looking at the numbers in your town and just kind of figuring out what the concerns are locally, and figuring out what's best for Quincy. So I think we've been trying to kind of keep our own, you know, an eye to everybody around us, but also making the best decisions for us.
Yeah. Are there talks or plans about, you know, the long-term impacts of what this might have on the future of school kids?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's a lot of talk about the social emotional effect that this is having on everyone. We just don't know what that's going to be. And I think coming back in the fall, teachers are going to have to really, you know, maybe even reteach a lot of the things that they went over this year to make sure everyone's caught up to speed on the academics, but also to check in and make sure kids are okay, and just be able to get back to socializing with each other.
I know you're involved at the state level too for kids with special needs. Talk a bit about that if you could.
Yeah, so it's actually it's a gifted and talented council. It's a council, advisory council to DESE, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, and it's an amazing group of people that are working to try to kind of elevate the status and the understanding of what gifted and talented education and what those students are in Massachusetts. A lot of states, Massachusetts included, has kind of lost their funding for the gifted and talented resources, and just and it's kind of fallen off the radar a lot. And Quincy actually acknowledges that there are advanced kids in the system, and we do have some programs here in Quincy that start at fifth grade that do reach them. There are a lot of communities in Massachusetts that do not. So this board, we just kind of talk about what we could do at the state level to just raise the importance of that, and try to get different localities more funding, more, you know, resources to be able to better meet the kids, the needs of the advanced child, academically and socially.
Right. Yeah. That's what sometimes special needs has a different connotation, but it can also mean kids who need, higher levels of instruction, or more challenges, if you will.
Absolutely. They're just, you know, it's both ends of the spectrum. Right. And we absolutely need to make sure that the kids kind of below the curve, or we're raising them up to make sure that they're right there too. That's very important. And there's a lot of resources for that, which is great. And then the kids kind of above the curve, that's where, you know, maybe they're okay. Maybe they're doing okay. And we say, well, you know, they'll be fine. They'll come along. But, you know, they have a lot of unique concerns that we have to meet too. We have to meet every kid where they're at. And if the curriculum's not where they're at, if it's below where they're at, we need to adjust that accordingly so that they learn just as much as everyone else.
Speaking of special education, can you talk a little bit about the Special Education Learning Center that will be developed at Old Colony Avenue? Is that something you think is a good idea?
I do. Now it's being used for the best use possible to vaccinate everyone. So I'm glad that it's being used for that right now. But hopefully it will start to be transitioning into some construction to make it into that Special Learning Center. You know, getting as many kids back here as we can and keeping them in district would be great. My concern is going to be making sure that the services they get and the programs that they're running out of that building are just as good as what they're getting out of district, right? There's a reason that those kids went out of district, and just making sure that we're not sort of saying we're meeting their needs and not. So just really kind of doing our due diligence, talking to the parents there, really making sure they're happy with what's going on. I think, you know, trying to build community with parents here, as opposed to at other schools and in other communities when we're kind of sending them out, building that community here is important. So I think there's definitely potential, and there's definitely, it's got the potential to be a great idea. But we just, you know, as with everything, we've got to keep our eye on it.
Yeah, obviously finances are going to be a huge challenge going forward because of the pandemic. But the governor has said he's hoping at least to somewhat fund, the special funding that he approved last year before the pandemic happened. How do you think that's going to impact the Quincy schools?
You know, I don't know. The mayor's always been very, very supportive of the school budget. So I hope it's not going to be too bad. You know, I hope that we'll still continue to be able to do all the things that we've planned to. I'm not sure how it's going to affect grants, things like that, how it affects the MSBA funding that we've gotten, that we've been lucky enough to get in the past. So I think we're just going to have to see how that plays out. And the funding is going to be a new element that I haven't had to work directly on before. So that's, I'm excited to get into the nuts and bolts of that too.
Yeah, if you could tell us a little bit about your professional backgrounds and how that will assist you in your role in school committee.
Sure. I work at my day job, my paying job. I work at Boston University in the School of Public Health. I do editing and design work. So that's my background. I went to Stonehill College. I got my degree in English and Fine Arts. So I kind of merged them together to make, you know, it's kind of a marketing type job, but definitely editing and that type of stuff. You know, it's more attention to detail. I'm very detail oriented. So it kind of goes with my professional and my passion, which is advocating for kids. I have three girls that always make sure that I have to keep my details oriented with them too, and make sure their schedules are in line. So definitely that helps me a lot. And I have a very flexible schedule. Even before COVID, I work from home, so my schedule is pretty flexible to allow me to, you know, be where I need to be and do what I need to do.
Do you think the Quincy School Committee does a good job of reaching out to parents, Courtney, or are there things that you'd like to see improved?
That's a good question. The school committee itself, I always found it when I was going to meetings and when I was approaching and speaking before the board to be hard. It's hard. It's not warm and fuzzy, right? It's a public board. It's a board, and you know, you have to speak during open forum. It's not conversational. Since I've been involved, a lot of the school committee members now come to citywide PTO meetings. They've gotten a little more involved, I think. I would say with parents, and there's been a lot of surveys and a lot of forums, a lot of ways they're trying to engage with parents. And I think that it's a lot better now than it was when I first started advocating, probably about almost 10 years ago, 8 or so years ago. And I think that we're starting to break down that wall, I think, a little bit between them. So I think that I think we're going in the right direction, but there's never enough communication, right? So we always got to keep working on you know, two directional conversations too. So just being able to get into the community, reach out to teachers, reach out to families, and just find out what's important to them.
Yeah. Do you think that the teachers have a strong voice, you know, when it comes to school policy before the school committee?
I do. The QEA is a very powerful entity, the teachers union, and they're strong advocates for their teachers and for what's best for them, for their rights, I know they've been very strongly advocating for the 6-foot distance in the schools, and that's valid. You know, every other place you go to, you have to be 6 feet apart. So I definitely get that, and I'm glad they're there. I'm glad that we have that group looking out for them. But and also just hearing anecdotally things that are going on, how the teachers are feeling about everything. I think the whole pandemic has absolutely been hard, almost as hard on them as it has been on students too. And families, and they've had, I'm sure their work life balance has been blurred too, making Google Slides at home. And you know, I think it's just really, really important to keep reminding them, keep being there for them, keep telling them that we're supporting them, telling them that we appreciate what they're doing. We can't do enough right now for them. For my kids, I appreciate each and every one of my teachers, my kids' teachers, what they're doing, the time they're putting in. So I know that it's hard right now for them.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot of the teachers are also parents, you know.
So absolutely.
Dealing with both sides of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there things that you think the Quincy schools can benefit from this whole experience and maybe, you know, utilize post-pandemic?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot. I mean, a lot of this technology, my kids are, you know, they've now way surpassed me in the technology end of things. So I think, you know, using more technology in the classroom, knowing that the kids are capable of it, I would like to see a little less screens going forward when things are back to normal, a little more hands-on, a little more in-person communication. But definitely, I think there's a space for the technology. I think that at the elementary level, they've had hour-long lunch breaks. And I think that's something I'd love to be able to continue to get, you know, we always have said there's not enough time. Well, we made it work for this. So I'd love to be able to figure out how to make that continue, you know, and just pull out the highlights, pull out what we can from what's worked pretty well.
As you're well aware, of course, the issue of equity and racial justice has come up over the past year, not only, you know, in the community, but also in the school community. Talk a little bit, if you can, about how you feel about that.
Yeah, it's something, you know, nationally we're dealing with. It's in our community. It's definitely something, you know, this is a timely topic, but it's been happening forever, right? And I'm glad that we're having conversations about it. I'm glad that doors are opening. People are feeling more comfortable about coming forward and sharing their stories. And it has to start there, right? We have to listen to what people are saying about our community, our school system. And even if we're not experiencing that, it, you know, they are, and we have to be responsive to that. So just, you know, I'm looking forward to the work that the Equity and Diversity Inclusion Subcommittee is going to be working on. So I'm looking forward to hearing what their goals are, what their plans are, just to be part of that moving forward. But yeah, we have a lot of work to do. But I think we do have a very diverse school system. Absolutely. And it's one of the strengths. So we have to harness that somehow and figure out how to embrace each other and raise everyone up.
Facilities wise, Courtney, how do you think Quincy Public Schools are faring? You know, the mayor is pushing strongly for a new Squanum Elementary School, for instance. How do you kind of rate the facilities?
Yeah, we've always, you know, kind of, we have a lot of old buildings, right? And so they have to be updated. And, you know, I think we've done a great job about reaching out for the MSBA grants, the School Board Association, Massachusetts School Building Association, to try to get that funding from the state to offset it. But a lot of these buildings need a lot of work. And I think we've done a good job updating when we can. Updating windows, updating lighting, different things throughout. I know Point Webster just had a big lighting redo lately. So, you know, they definitely keep up with it. And the new buildings, you know, you have, sometimes it's cheaper to replace than it is to revamp when it gets to be that extensive. So Squanum, I think, is good. I think it's good that we're going to go for replacing that. It's an old building, and I think that there's a lot more opportunity that whole site has to offer. So I'm excited to oversee that. And you know, like you mentioned, the special ed building, special ed center, that's going to require a lot of building as well. So, but as long as we kind of keep on it and just keep updating all of our schools so that all of our students have, you know, equal access to different technologies in the buildings.
Sure. Do you know what your committee assignments will be yet, Courtney?
I don't. Nope. Okay. I haven't heard that yet. Yeah.
Do you have any favorites you'd like to serve on?
Teaching and learning is always always one of my favorite ones to watch, to tune in. I'm always really, you know, excited about what our kids are learning, you know, ways we could deliver material better, that type of stuff. And advanced curriculum always interests me. So hearing about that, it's definitely that. Special education is something I'm interested in learning more about. Mm-hmm. And it's something that, you know, I haven't quite got into that world. It's such a huge world. And so I'm looking forward to learning about that. And the athletics subcommittee, I haven't quite, we don't do too much on that one yet too, because my kids are a little bit younger. So I'm looking forward to learning about the ones I don't know as much about.
Sure. Well, anything else you'd like to let folks know about right now?
Yeah, I'm just really excited to have this opportunity and ready to hit the ground running. And I'm just really excited to get our kids back through the COVID stuff and figure out a way that's safe and responsible to get everyone back. And you know, looking at advanced coursework for our students, especially at the younger elementary age. Is something I'm eager to take part in. And I'm also really excited to be able to discuss at the school committee level, exploring some options and developing a concrete plan for getting our fifth graders at Point Webster and Southwest Middle Schools back to their elementary schools, and just figure out how we can do that and try to move that issue forward a little bit, so we can ensure an equitable experience for those students and families as well.
Sure. Has your city email been established yet, do you know?
Yes, I do have an email address. It's CourtneyPerdius@QuincyPublicSchools.com.
Great. Yeah. Appreciate your time, Courtney. So good
to
talk to
you. Yeah, thank you so much. It was very good to talk to you too, Joe. Thank you.
All right, feel free to reach out anytime. We're here to help.
Thank you, will do.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.